Support comes from New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals standing with more than 600,000 workers in education, human services, and healthcare with the Our Voice, Our Values, Our Union campaign. And United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President. UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is a favorite of mine, Gerard Kosar, chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. Welcome to the program, Jerry, if I may call you that.
Yes, please. Well, thank you. Thank you. I very much enjoy our interactions, and, you know, I'm going to enjoy this half an hour, I'm certain. So
don't be so sure.
Shots, Alan.
Let me ask you a question, Jerry. Do you ever feel like you're in a minority when you're a conservative in New York State?
Oh, yes, I do feel like I'm in a minority, particularly living in Brooklyn. And, you know, so I would definitely feel that way. But let me just say this to you. Just as that old expression goes, there's a silent majority. I think we're a minority in terms of, in terms of the spoken word. But as we drill down closer to the views of people, I think that minority does have moments when it stretches into a majority. But sure, generally speaking, I feel like we're in a minority.
So let me ask you this. We see a huge breakout now. There are people who are calling me and saying it on the radio that it's time for a third party. But you are a third party. Is this your time?
I think it can be. I believe that the Democratic Party is operating as two separate parties within the umbrella of the Democratic Party, with the more extreme group, taking the lead in this horse race. And I suspect that is providing us with opportunity.
So what kind of an operation do you have? I know you have somebody who answers the phone and all like that. Do you have a big budget?
No, our budget is a couple hundred thousand. We are staffed. I mean, we have an executive director. As the person who answers the phone is my executive assistant. We bring on and off different staff people to play different roles at different times of the year. We do, of course, maintain a separate budget completely oriented towards campaign activity. I mean, you know, it'll never be as large as I want, but it tends to be large enough for us to make a noticeable impact. And we have, don't forget, we have 55, 60 county organizations around the state, and they have their own little operations, or big operations going. I could say to you that if you're in Erie County or Suffolk or, you know, Westchester, I mean, you've got large party organizations. And you also have active party organizations in some of the smaller counties, very active, where there might not be 100 people attending a meeting, but those individuals who are involved, you know, they're politically involved, civically involved, they run candidates for town boards, you know, village trustees. So, you know, we're out there. We're seen and we're heard.
And so there's the Republican Party, and then there's the Conservative Party.
Right.
How are you guys getting along these days?
Pretty good, to be honest with you. I find that Nick Langworthy, this GOP state chairman, is very aggressive. I feel that I'm an aggressive party chairman, too. So though that is in sync. We have a laser-focused goal to take back the governorship and to win statewide offices, as well as to support, you know, our down ballot candidates. So although, you know, sometimes we don't merge exactly where one would want to see us merge, maybe in terms of, some candidates here and there, by and far, we are working very closely together.
You just got my interest when you said win back the governorship. Andrew Cuomo, as we know, is in some trouble. And yet, one of the oldest sayings in politics, which I adhere to a lot, is, okay, who you got?
I think we have Lee Zeldin. Lee has accumulated the support of the majority of the state committee who choose the candidate for governor and both political parties. I mean, right now, I believe he's over 60% in both parties, and I feel very confident that at least in my party, he's going to be a unanimous choice by the time conventions roll around, which isn't for a while, frankly. But so I think we're going to have Congressman Zeldin, and I believe Congressman Zeldin's abilities both as government official, ability to run the government, his character and background, his positions on issues, and his canny ability to raise money, which is a very necessary part of running for governor, are just what we need.
Hey, Jerry, wait a second. I'm not trying to give you a hard time here. That's not my job. I'm just admiring what you do. But Lee Zeldin, that's a Trumper right there in blue state New York.
Well, I mean, you know, people have said that to me, and I might point out that the Conservative Party is very pro President Trump, and we don't disagree with Lee's role in terms of supporting the president. I would say this to you: the race for governor is going to be, in my view, as much as the Democrats want it to be about Trump, I think it's going to be more about how the Democrats are running the state, whether it be the unsustainable increase in spending and taxes, insane public safety laws, the fact that they are going as slow as a tortoise in terms of actually addressing the enormous number of issues that are revolving around the governor. It's beginning to become obvious that all they're really trying to do is kick the can down the road. So I think that's what the race ends up becoming, and that's what we intend to make the race. If they want to make it about Trump, they're not going to really discourage a single conservative party type vote from continuing to support Lee Zeldin.
Yeah. But first of all, there's going to be a redistricting. How do you know that Lee Zeldin's district will even be there by the time, you know?
Well, it wouldn't really matter because he's not running for re-election to Congress, right? So that district will be gone. It's not going to be gone, really, because the population density in Long Island definitely would not lend itself to losing any seats out there. If anything, they'll have the same number of seats. So I would not anticipate that seat being gone. It'll change somewhat, but that wouldn't really be the issue. The issue is him running for governor. And I would say this to you, frankly, if I was a candidate in Eastern Long Island and the former congressman was now running for governor, I would also think that would give me a great advantage, knowing the enormous number of votes that'll appear on the Republican and conservative lines on Long Island. But it's about running for governor. I think the more you get to know Congressman and former state Senator Zeldin, the more you will feel that he's credentialed to become an excellent governor.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about what everybody's talking about, LeChaney versus Stefanik. Mm-hmm. Now, it looks to me like they're going to kick out Cheney from her leadership post in the Congress, and Stefanik from upstate New York will become the person. So what's the deal?
Well, we certainly are very pleased to see that. I, myself and the party were not happy that Liz Cheney was able to continue as the House Republican Conference chairperson back in February. And this has nothing to do with her being a member of the House of Representatives. That's the choice of the people of the state of Wyoming. But the leadership role is supposed to be focused on managing the House Republican Conference and messaging and, you know, creating an atmosphere where they can go forward, increase, and be influential. Liz Cheney seems to have a vendetta against the against President Trump and the Trump family, and she seems to be laser focused only on that. So I could understand how that membership would feel uncomfortable with her. Now, as far as Elise is concerned, I mean, the Conservative Party has supported Elise since the first time she ran, and we supported her when she had the first time a Republican primary, and we like to feel that we played a role in her first getting elected to Congress. She enjoys our support, and we enjoy her friendship. I think she's going to make an excellent leader there. Her EPAC has played a role in electing many, many women to the Republican women to the House of Representatives. And just as an aside, somebody just alluded to me this just a little while ago. I believe when she becomes, I believe she's going to become the chairwoman of the House Republican Conference. Somebody told me that that's the highest position a Republican has held in the House of Representatives since Jack Kemp. who I believe had the same title, but in terms of leadership. Other members from the state have played important roles as committee chairmen, but this is the third-ranking position in the House Republican Conference, so it's a big deal.
And so you do believe, let me just get this straight, that Stefanik should take the place of Liz Cheney in the leadership?
Yes, I do. I mean, first, obviously, people had to conclude that they wanted to have Liz Cheney removed, which I did support and do support. But with that looking like it's going to happen, the opening, in my view, I think the nation benefits, and certainly our state benefits and our GOP delegation benefits from having Congresswoman Stefanik as the head of the Republican House Conference.
What do you think accounts, Jerry, for the fierce loyalty of Republicans and conservatives for Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, I think we have been able to, in our minds, split up a little bit from what Democrats are uncomfortable with, which is not always his policies, maybe his personality, but we've really been focused a lot more on his policies. I mean, to some degree, we feel that what we've been saying has been justified in the first few months of President Biden's administration, who has come across as a nice guy. I'm going to say he's come across as a nice guy, but his policies towards the border, his massive spending bill, and frankly, as nice a guy as he is, his inability to recognize the fact that the Trump administration actually deserves the credit for the vaccine, has, I think, only confirmed for a lot of us, and not a lot of us, is like 48% of the country statistically proven, that we were in the right place in supporting the president. It doesn't mean, Alan, I'm not saying it doesn't mean that I've been involved in government and politics my whole life, and I can honestly say I do not agree with lots and lots of President Trump's style. But I also believe that that's not what we're electing. We're electing someone to do, to do things. Biden is doing things, too, but he's not really doing the things I wanted to see happen.
Jerry Kosar, let me ask you this. We're friends. I admire you. I admire the fact that you're in politics and you work hard. However, when you start talking about Trump getting less credit than he deserves for developing the vaccine, let's leave that aside for a minute. I mean, I was watching television the day that I watched him come on and say there wasn't going to be any virus in this country. It wasn't coming here. It was all overblown. And most people think he was... Well, what's a good word? It's not a good word, but that he was really off the mark and that he's cost a lot of lives because he didn't take the virus all that seriously.
Well, I don't know if he cost lives. I'm not going to try to measure the lives some would claim he caused versus the lives that we know Cuomo cost. But what I would say is this, though. I would say that his rhetoric seemed to be a little off the cuff. It was very stylistic for him. But then it really becomes, where did he apply money? Where did he apply resources? I mean, what could the federal government be doing more or less of? And I think the federal government, in focusing lots of money on a vaccine, as well as when you listen closely to those press conferences with Cuomo or, for argument's sake, other governors maybe in California where their rhetoric permeated out into to the general audience. You hear about conversations with various federal departments about getting ventilators, about getting masks and other resources. And the conversations tended to be professional and well-organized both on on multiple levels. So, I mean, I always felt that the business of addressing COVID, although not perfect at all, when compared to other nations around the world, the United States still stood up to the long-term test. And now, today, we are by far the most successful country in the world in dealing with COVID. We're going to have a summer, frankly, that'll be almost normal again.
So let me ask you a question. Nancy Pelosi has said that with Trump, all roads lead to Putin.
Yeah.
Now, Putin was a KGB colonel. We know that.
Yeah.
And we know that he is a dictator now. and that his enemies tend to get poisoned and the rest of this.
Yeah,
do you think she was right when she said with Trump all roads led to Putin?
No, I think it was just political rhetoric. She's, you know, one of the things about the president and other political personalities, you know, a lot of us don't like to give ground. You know, you push towards us, we push back towards you. I think you got several personalities there, including Pelosi's, that, you know, don't mesh well with the president, and rhetoric got much hotter and meaner than it needed to be. And believe me, I'm not solely blaming Speaker Pelosi for that. That is definitely a two-way street. But I mean, the majority leader there, Hoyer's, had a few nasty things to say. I mean, in my view, one of the people that really stood out as being kind of a nice guy above a lot of all this was the Vice President Pence, who, you know, would defend the president, but was never really involved in all the back and forth. So I look at Speaker Pelosi as kind of responding in kind.
Now, let me just say, you brought up Pence. There could not have been more of a supporter for Trump than Pence.
Correct.
And then when Pence didn't do what the president wanted, which was to help him, I'm sorry to say this to you because I know you won't agree, to rob the election, Pence was a non-entity. He was gone. He was done. You know, this president makes a lot of enemies out of people who used to be friends.
Well, a lot of people in the conservative movement will disagree with me, but I thought that the vice president was performing his constitutional duties. And I have some issues with the way November came out. I mean, the president now accepts the results. I accept the results. I do believe that there were legitimate questions in certain states. I don't know if that was enough to overturn an election, but I think there were legitimate questions that didn't get proper. They didn't get fully aired. I'm not going to tell you they didn't get partially aired, but get fully aired. But as far as that actual count is concerned on January 6th, I'll throw it to the wind, and conservatives could write me 100 letters in the next 20 minutes. But I believe the vice president was performing his constitutional duty.
Well, we're talking to Gerard Cassar, chairman of the Conservative Party in New York. So, Jerry, let's go to Facebook. Should they have thrown off Trump?
No, they should not. They should not have that level. Facebook and Twitter have become part of the national communication stream. If they want to, and I think it's generally accepted, they are allowed to create standards, and those standards they have a right to enforce. But throwing someone off for months at a time, and, you know, frankly, Facebook was not the president's major communications social media piece. It was Twitter. I think that was inappropriate. And I think today, I guess, is it today that they're...
They've already done it. The board has ruled that they were within their power to do that and that they should look at it in 6 months, their own board.
Oh, they're going to look at it in 6 months. I think they're wrong in doing that. I think they should be looking at it now. I mean, to me, they play their private company, but they play a role like, you know, just like many of almost like utilities do. They play a very large public service role. I mean, would Verizon have the right to, you know, shut off my phone if I paid my bill? So
But Verizon, Jerry, is obviously regulated by the state as a utility. That's not true of Facebook.
That's true. That is absolutely true. I just feel, though, that conceptually, you know, whether they had the right or not, I'm going to your initial question, I think they shouldn't rule the way they did. I thank you for that update. I had missed that.
No problem. Let's talk about the census. New York is set to lose a seat from 27 to 26 by 89 votes, as I understand it, if they had found 89 more people. What do you make of that whole census and the loss of the congressional seat?
Well, I don't know. This 89 vote thing is certainly in my gut. All I can say is that that's extraordinarily disappointing. The fact, though, is that the state has been losing seats, I think, since the 1950 reapportionment. I think we went down from 45 to 26 now. It's policy after policy that has made New York. New York State tends to be a draw for an immigrant community that knows that our safety net here is very helpful to get your feet within the nation. And then there's the, you know, birth versus death rates, which tend to, you know, keep us, you know, from really falling off the cliff population-wise. But as far as individuals wanting to stay in the state after they've been here a while or move into the state from other states, we have just not, and that's where the government plays a role. That's where the governmental aspect of this is. Our policies just do not lend itself for people wanting to move here or stay here.
Well, I was just going to say the population is actually up, but it's certainly not up the way that other states are.
Well, 800, it's up 800,000, and I'm saying to you that that is that could have probably been 2 million if it wasn't for our policies. I'm saying to you that we are definitely an attraction for immigration, both legal and undocumented, and we are in a, you know, in clearly birth versus death rates benefit in terms of increasing population. But, we, you know, there is a large out-migration, and the state is lucky in one sense. That was a 2021 count that was taking place during COVID, so that many individuals were counted that I think since have left the state. So my only fear of what count really would be now, I doubt it would be 89 people. It would probably be a lot worse. I mean, you just look around New York City, and a lot of people I shouldn't say a lot. Many people are not coming back. I don't want to say a lot of people. Many people are just not coming back.
Jerry Kasar, former Assembly Speaker Silver has been released early from prison, convicted of corruption. Isn't there a lot of legal corruption throughout the legislature? Is he any different?
Well, no, there isn't. You're correct. But I want to say this on that. The CARE Act was developed as a release mechanism for individuals prior to the heavy use of the vaccine. If Speaker Silver has been vaccinated, which I assume he has been, I cannot understand why he gets to be covered by the CARE Act. If he's vaccinated, he is extraordinarily unlikely to catch COVID, and I would take the view that the CARE Act's aspect on letting people out of prisons early for into their homes should be reversed.
What about ethics reform in the legislature? We see that Andrea Stewart Cousins mentioned it, but, you know, it seems to me you got to be very careful about that, because if they need ethics reform to catch up with the governor, which clearly this is aimed at, then how about themselves?
Well, that's true. That's true. You know, one of the biggest ethics reforms was the fact that the lobbyists couldn't get into the building the last year. But that wasn't something that, you know, came about through a normal process. The New York State Legislature is its own version of a swamp, and there is very little successful pushback against the failure to accept the fact that there could be two views that are worth discussing. It, to me, is one of the worst aspects of New York State government. I do not believe the country as a whole operates like New York State, and I think that failure may not be corruption, but it is just leads to a government that could be much more successful, and it's not.
Hey, Jerry, you got a $212 billion state budget. What do you make of it?
I make that it's way, way, way bloated. It's unsustainable, and it was unnecessary. I mean, that $15,600. I've read the language on that. It fails to take into account the many benefits that have for decades here been made available to individuals who are undocumented, whether it be health or education or nutrition. It's basically making the case that if you lost your job, you should be treated like everyone else, even if you're here as an undocumented. Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch. They've taken this so far that we're going to be paying this back for a very, very long time, and it's going to, you know, it's going to hurt future generations of young people that are going to have to make up for this sort of, you know, gigantic budget increase. We used to think it was a big deal if the non-federal aspect of the state budget went up by more than 3%, but the rate of inflation. I mean, I forgot the percentage on this, but it's way over inflation, way over inflation.
Talk to me about police reform. We haven't got that much time left. But, you know, there's a huge move for police reform sweeping the nation. You know, conservatives have often been close to the police. So do you think it's necessary in light of the Derek Chauvin
murder? I do think some police reform was necessary, and I also do think that some of the police unions would agree with that. But that's a local – that's on a local or per-state basis, depending on the departments and what rules they operate under. So let me just say this to you. The New York City Police Department has significant minority leadership, has for decades. New York City Police Department, the NYPD, has a generally, not perfect stellar record, but with 33 or 34,000 uniformed service personnel, I think it has an outstanding record. And I want to just say this to you, is they keep on talking about police reform in New York City, and at the same time, they keep on talking about defunding police, and they keep on talking about putting more money into tourism programs. My suggestion would be that they take the money from the tourism programs, hire more police, you know, and maybe they'll find that people feel like the better way, it's in their interest to come back to New York City to go to the Statue of Liberty or to Broadway because they feel like they won't get mugged. To me, that's better than putting up a nice picture of the Statue of Liberty on your TV.
Okay, so now let's talk just for a second, because that's all we've got, about physicians-assisted suicide.
Yep.
Should that happen?
I don't support it. I concern myself with the possibilities of, which I have not yet been convinced are not real, about the possibilities of such a system getting out of control and individuals that are coerced into taking their own lives. Now, that is not to say this. It's not to say that there shouldn't be discussions. I mean, I'm not at that point in my life where I don't think there should be lots of discussions on this, but I do. I'm uncomfortable with anything I've seen. And during the years that I did work for the state legislature, many groups came in that were pro groups for handicapped individuals, individuals different learning disabilities, and they were very concerned about what they were hearing in this issue area.
So obviously, we disagree on that. I think there
Correct.
Could be some ways to do it, but. Hey, that's what makes a ball game. So we've been talking to Gerard, otherwise known to us as Jerry Kosar, chairman of the New York State Conservative Party.
Thank you.
I'm Alan Chartok, and we wish you all well. Again, Jerry, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Alan. Thank you very much, as always.